Hallelujah. Well, I want to wish all of our mothers happy Mother's Day in the room, online, wherever you may be. Happy Mother's Day to you. If you're in Cracker Barrel eating breakfast and watching us on live stream, I'm glad that we could join together. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You know, mothers are to be very well appreciated. You know, for all that you are and all that you do, mothers are very precious. Amen. You know, sometimes we think, well, I don't know, my mother wasn't so hot, but I bet she did the best she could. Yes. Best that she knew how to do, you know. I mean, you know, I never understood my parents until I became a parent. Yes. And then it became very apparent. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and just considering how they've had to deal with us, I'm sure they're going to have many crowns or many gems in their crowns. And all that they've had to deal with us, they still love us. Amen. Amen. You know, I remember as a teen, you know, I kind of put my parents through the ringer. But my mother still believed she had two good boys. Amen. She always said that. Speak in faith. Glory to God. Yeah, you know, it'd be like, have you seen my son Bob? He is upright, blameless, you know. She would never point out my faults and my shortcomings. Never would, never did. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, over the last 6 weeks, actually, we have been discussing how darkness has been driven back. That started at the resurrection when Jesus was raised from the dead. He drove darkness back. That darkness was defeated. Satan was defeated. Isn't that right? He is a defeated foe. That darkness is no match at all for the light. We talked about eliminating the threat, which had to do with Goliath, that there was none like our God, which had to do with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and about judging accusations, which had to do with Daniel in the lion's den. There is nothing, there is no foothold that darkness can have, that we can stand against darkness and overcome it and walk over it at every turn. Amen? Amen. Amen. And you know, that whole series on darkness being driven back is available on flash drive if you'd like to order it. There were six in the series, so more than likely it would be two flash drives. So it would be $8 for the whole series, which is a pretty good deal. And when we consider what Jesus has done in driving back the darkness for us, we consider what he has put in our hand to be able to deal with darkness. We can boldly say, Satan has no right over me. Right. We can boldly say, he has no right over us. Isn't that right? He has no right on me. He has no right to touch me. Amen. Not in any way, not with any evil. He has no right. We don't need to give him place in our life. Amen. And we can, through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that drove the darkness back from us, we can keep darkness under our feet and walk above it. Amen. 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 And Jesus, you know, the wisdom of God, he didn't just bring what was needed for our salvation or what we call being saved, but he provided for us everything for a life of salvation. Amen. 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 Go over to Romans chapter 8 for a moment, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Okay, he helps. The Greek word soon antilambano, which there was no such word, Paul had to make it up to get across the idea of what he's trying to say as far as the Holy Spirit being a helper. And soon means to stand together with us. Anti means to stand against whatever we're standing against. And lambano means to actively take a grip on or take a hold of what we need to take a hold of. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I don't know if you have look to the Holy Spirit in that way lately as a helper. But if you did, you'd really be excited about that. Amen. Amen. God has given this to us, what he said right here, this help, as part of our deliverance arsenal. Amen. As darkness was driven back, this is a way to keep darkness off of us. This help is part of our protection. We don't have to go it alone. We don't have to do it alone. Isn't that right? And this help comes out from within us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Isn't that right? So this help comes from within us. He is the help that we need, and we're never without him. If you're never without him, you're never without help. Now we talked about this verse in spiritual ears classes in the avenue of prayer. But this is not only for prayer, because the Holy Spirit has come, and part of his ministry is a helper. Right. Isn't that right? That's what the word, one of the definitions of paraclete, is to be a helper. Amen. All right? So the Holy Spirit comes to be our help in everything. Everything. Glory to God. Amen. This is a protection that's been given to us, and we can operate in the power of his help that comes from within us. And we do that by praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. Isn't that right? By groanings. He said groanings too deep for words. You know, sometimes it's just groaning on the inside coming out. He's given us faith. He's given us authority. And, you know, we need the Holy Spirit help in all of this. He's given us grace that we can walk in, that we can attach to the grace by faith. Isn't that right? Amen. And all the other things that he's given to us, the Holy Spirit wants to help you not only to develop in it, but help you to use it and function in it in your life. Hallelujah. So if help is available, wouldn't we want to use it? Amen. We would want to use it, right? You know, there was a time when I needed to move furniture from upstairs down into children's church. And I could have probably done it myself, but I asked for help. It's easier. It accomplishes more quicker. I remember one time I was going to move some furniture, and the ladies were downstairs, and all of a sudden they heard, boom! Well, right away they're on the phone. Are you okay? You know, I was moving a big desk myself on a dolly. It wasn't stable. It went over. Made a lot of noise. So, what was the best thing to do? Help. 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 Amen. So, you know, Ecclesiastes tells us if the axe is dull and you don't sharpen it, you're going to have to exert more strength. You know, I don't know about you. I don't mind effort. I like effort, but I don't like wasted effort. You know, exerting more strength, exerting more to cut when you could just sharpen the blade. Amen. You know, and wisdom, it says, gives you the advantage of success. The wisdom of God will give you advantage of success. The wisdom of God puts you on the winning side. The wisdom of God is like a tennis match. You're always in the advantage phase. You got the advantage over the enemy. And he's still trying to get that winning point, but he can't get it. For you tennis players. We are not left to our own resources or our own strength. The Holy Spirit is here to help what? Our weakness. Our weakness. Now here in the form of prayer, it says we don't know how to pray as we should. But in the scheme of everything, the Holy Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how. Period. Prayer or anything else. Amen. We just don't know. Now, some people would say, well, you know, I can go it alone. I can do it myself. I don't really need any help. Well, that's not wise. That's not wise considering your enemy, because you're no match for your enemy, especially in your own self. In our own self, we are no match for the devil. The devil will whip you 10 times a day and twice on Sunday. You can't go it without him. Amen. We need his help. That is not wise to say I can go it on my own. You are weak to stand against the devil on your own. I know you think you're the smart guy. But he's been around a lot longer. And he has a lot of schemes that you're not aware of. But what did the Apostle Paul say about being weak? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. So all you have to do is admit your weakness. I know, that takes a little humility. Because, I mean, bless God, we're faith people. We don't say we're weak. Well, in yourself, you're weak. In yourself, you're poor. In yourself, you have nothing. In yourself, you're on your way to hell. But in Christ, it makes it all different. So we have to understand where we stand here. You know, okay, in Christ, I'm not weak because I have what I need. But without him, I'm weak. So if I admit the Apostle Paul, the thorn, remember? Dangers in the city, dangers in the field, dangers from the countrymen, dangers from the Jews, dangers from the Gentiles. Whipped. I've been beaten with rods. I've been whipped. I've been in shipwrecks. I've come across all kinds, and I can't seem to stop this, and I've asked the Lord to help and to bring an end to it. And the Lord said what? My grace is sufficient for you. So Paul said, so when I'm in a position of weakness and I am unable, I have the inability, I've got an inability to produce results, I can turn to the strength of the universe and allow the strength of the universe, the strength of all of creation, to move on my behalf. Now, I don't care how strong you think you are in your head. You ain't close to the strength of the one that made the universe. Are you with me? See, when you admit your weakness, then you will be strong. When you turn to the strength of God, the helper. Amen. Run up to verse 22 for a moment here in Romans 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Well, if it was suffering back then, it's really suffering now. Isn't that right? There's great travail of the creation that's been going on. You know, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanoes, tornadoes, famines, floods. And then, of course, you've got the wars. You've got the terrorism. You've got national unrest. Do you have power over those things? No, you don't. I want one of you to get yourself up and just go over to Columbia University and stand up and go, stop it. Let's see how much power you have. See, you don't have any power in yourself. You can't have power over these things. You're not strong enough to deal with these things. In fact, go over to Psalm 131 for a moment. Psalm 131, verse 1. Watch it. Watch what? What am I watching? Psalm 131, 1. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things that are too difficult for me. There are things that you just can't handle. You can't settle the unrest. You can't settle the terrorism problem. You can't settle the wars. You can't settle the famines. You can't settle the hurricanes. You can't settle the famines. Nothing you can do about it. And I'm talking about in yourself. These things are just too great and they're too difficult. Isn't that right? Amen. You're not going, next time there's a hurricane that comes around, I want you to fly down to it, stand there and say, stop. See what happens. You say, well, if God told me, well, then it would be God, not you. Let's not confuse what we're talking about. Don't get so spiritual on me. When you think that you're strong enough, I want you to go over to the Middle East and stand between Israel and Hamas and go, I have your answer. I want to see what happens to you. Are you with me? These things are great matters and difficult. Yet we go through many of these things, don't we? And what do we think? That we go through storms, we go through famines, we go through economic downturns, we go through all kinds of unrest. And we think that when I can pick up the pieces and go on, that that's power. It's not power. A lot of times it's just human effort and human will. I mean, hopefully you can go on after something, but that's not really power. Because ultimately, power over all of these things is not being touched by them. See, that's power over those things, not being touched by them. And God is offering as a protection, he's offering us a protection and deliverance that we could never provide on our own. Now, what do we know about deliverance? You know, Psalm 91 mentions deliverance on several times, but there's different Hebrew words used that means different things. And God's way of deliverance is either to deliver you around something, deliver you from something, or deliver you through something. Which one don't we like? We don't like being delivered through it. We want to be delivered from it. I mean, to where we don't even know about it. That's what we all want. Why does God want you to go through some things for deliverance? Because you need to grow. People that run away from the issues will never grow. You're a runner, not a grower. That's what endurance is about. Taking your place, taking your stand, and refusing to move and staying under the promise of the Word of God, no matter what winds are blowing around you. Amen? You know, we talked about Goliath. We talked about Daniel in the lion's den. We talked about the fiery furnace. Well, they all went through stuff. But did it touch them? No, they came out of the furnace, no smell of smoke. Daniel came out of the lion's den without a lion's scratch on him. David defeated Goliath, and then they defeated all of the Philistines and took all of the spoils. Now, when Israel left Egypt, they went around war. God said to Moses, bring them around this way, lest they see war and want to go back to Egypt. So they were delivered around it. Balak tried to get Balaam to curse Israel so he could have power over them, but God would only allow a blessing to come out of Balaam's mouth. So therefore, Israel was delivered from that curse without even knowing anything about it. So there's times God delivers us from stuff and we don't even know about it. There's times that he delivers us around stuff so we don't have to deal with it. And then there's times we go through stuff and he delivers us out of it. Amen. But in all those cases, they were never touched. See, you think because you have a problem, you're touched. And the reason you're touched is because you just said so. You took it to yourself, and that's why it touches you. Just because it's around you doesn't mean it's touched you. Touched you. Are you with me? Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. God wants us to walk in protection and deliverance. He's provided it for us. It's part of your salvation. Part of that Greek word, sozo, to be saved, delivered, protected. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:12. It says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Yay! We hate that verse. Why? What does it mean that they'll be persecuted? It means they'll be pursued. It means that they'll be followed after with an intensity of effort. They'll be chased. They'll be dogged. Amen. It's a program that is systematically designed to oppress and harass. The world system and Satan's system is systematically designed to oppress and harass anyone that would want to live godly in Christ Jesus. It means to zealously pursue. Satan is very zealous about pursuing you, tracking you, dogging you, whether you have a smartphone or not. He don't need a smartphone to track you. People are so afraid of smartphones, and then there's the devil. Come on. Well, a good example of this was Saul of Tarsus. You know, he held the coats as they stoned Stephen. And then he was like and if you read it in the Greek, it talks about how he was actually demented, mentally demented, and going into the houses of Christians and pulling them out of prison and bringing them into jail for the purpose of them to be killed. Remember that? Okay. And then Saul of Tarsus gets saved. So now the persecution turns over to political persecution. And now Rome is persecuting the Christians. Not because Rome hated Christians, it's because Nero lied about them. Nero burned Rome. Remember while he played his fiddle? He was fiddling around and burned Rome. And the council called Nero on the carpet and said, What happened here that Rome burned? He said it was them Christians that did it. And Paul's ahead of the Christians. Do you need to bring them all down? And that's why there was persecution against them. And then Rome decided, you know, Rome was very tolerant of religions. You know, any religion went in Rome. So Rome decided we need our own religion. So they came up with a religion of the spirit of Roma. And the spirit of Roma was supposedly living inside of whoever was the current emperor. So because this was the god of Roma in the emperor, you had to bow to the emperor and you would have to say, Nero is Lord, Domitian is Lord, whoever the emperor might have been at the time. Well, the Christians wouldn't do that. Well, some of them did, you know. But some of them didn't. And they didn't like that. So there was persecution against the Christians, zealously pursued. Now, if you stop there on that verse, you could really be depressed. So let's go on to verse 13. He says, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So there's evil men and there's imposters. Who are the imposters? False teachers. So there's the evil men and the false teachers. They will continue to decline and become more and more depraved. Does that mean that the past depraving is not as bad as current depraving? And since it was okay and not as bad as it is today, we can embrace the past one because it's not as bad as what it is today. I mean, that's past and that's not as bad, so that's kind of an okay depraving. Well, then how come you accept necessary evils in your life? It's become a phrase that people use. It's a necessary evil. Really? Really? So you must think that's from God. Don't shout me down. We need to recognize and realize what's going on. Nothing wrong with knowing what's going on. Nothing wrong with knowing what's going on. Thinking you can fix it is your problem. Now, you can get with God and you can pray and do the things God wants you to do, but you're whining and you're complaining and all this other stuff don't help nothing. Why? Evil men and imposters will proceed. They will do what they do. God knows it. What are you complaining about? God knows it. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. Verse 14. So the evil will proceed from bad to worse, but verse 14 says, but you, however, So here's what they're doing. We know what they're doing. We can see what they're doing, but you continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, you, however, is a very strong, direct address. So he said, there's evil men and there's imposters out there, and they're going to be going from bad to worse, and it's going to continue in that way. But you, this is a direct address to Timothy and to us. You see what's going on, but you, this is what I need you to do, and this is what I want you to do. This is what's happening all around you, but you. Stop getting involved with what's going on around you. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with having a voice and being involved. You know, last week I went to that pastor's round table, and it was all about the things that are going on in the world, in the government, globally, and all this other stuff, and the place that the church can take. And that's fine. You know, we are citizens of this nation, and we have a right to vote. We have a right to speak up. We have a right to declare the truth of the Word of God. Stop sharing your opinion and start sharing the Word of God. Why do so many people want to share their opinions? Because they have no idea what the Word of God has to say. And all they left was their own self-opinion, which does nothing but create division, outburst of anger, and all kinds of problems. I will never talk about abortion without talking about hands that shed innocent blood. Scripture, it's what the Word of God says. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And when I formed you, I put you in there. Amen. The Word of God covers so much of what we see today. Because you think the devil's come up with new stuff. No. You, me, we are to continue. He's given exhortation to continue in what we have learned and what we're convinced of, which is revelation. What you have revelation of. Not head mental knowledge. What you have revelation of. Don't move off of the truth that you know. Because of all the false things you see and hear. That should make you even more solid on the truth. I can't sit through a news broadcast or anything without declaring what the Word of God says about what they're saying. I don't watch commercials on TV without declaring what the Word of God has to say about it. So I use all that worldly stuff on TV to stir up the Word of God inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't move off of the truth because of what you see in here. Don't be like the Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Well, it was CNN. Well, it was Fox News. Well, it was those things that I heard out there about what was going on in Congress. Why would that move you off the truth? That should just make you more solid in the truth. The truth of the Word of God. Isn't that right? Don't be more concerned with what's happening around you more than the truth that's happening in you. That's why he said, continue. Maybe you need to start so that you can continue. Maybe you never started. Maybe you need to start so that you can continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of. Verse 15, I know we're talking about deliverance and protection, and that all goes along with it. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, in the previous verse, he talked about knowing who you've learned the things from, and now he's talking about the sacred writings that you knew from childhood. So he's got two sources of confidence. Number one was the teaching and the testimony that he received from the Apostle Paul. And number two is the scriptures that he knew from childhood. And he said here that you have known the sacred writings. The word known is the Greek word oida, which means to know personally in experience. He's got a personal experience in these things. So it wasn't just that he heard about a doctrine of Christ, but he has received Jesus into his life. It's not just that he heard about the Holy Spirit, he's received the Holy Spirit. It's not just that he's read about speaking in tongues, he does speak in tongues. It's not just that he heard about healing, but he walks in healing. It's not that he read that God wants to supply all your needs, but that he has all of his needs met. Oida, to experience and know for yourself, goes beyond doctrine and theory. Vincent's Word Study says, to give you the understanding of that which lies behind the letter, to enable you to detect in the Old Testament books various hidden allusions to Christ, to draw from the Old Testament the mystery of messianic salvation, and to interpret the Old Testament with Christ as the key. Amen. It gives significance to, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what he said there. It leads to salvation through faith. Well, they didn't have Romans 10, 9, and 10. What did they have? Old Testament. That's what they had. Paul was going around speaking. He was writing letters. But they were learning off of the Old Testament. You know, in the book of Acts, it says the Bereans were more noble because they went and checked out daily what the Apostle Paul was teaching. Well, what did they check? The Old Testament. They went and checked the scriptures in the Old Testament. They didn't go to the Pharisees. They didn't go to the Stoics. They didn't go to the philosophers. They didn't go to the lawyers of the land. They went to the Old Testament. And the Old Testament proved that what Paul was talking about was in there. It's amazing how many people want to check out the truth of the word, but they check with all kinds of stuff out there when you're just supposed to check the word of God. Amen. Jesus Christ was the key of scripture, and through faith in him, scripture became the power of salvation. So what does that mean? That means without faith in Jesus, the power of salvation lies dormant and unable to move, although it's always there and available. Isn't that right? The false teachers also had their learning, but they used their teaching to expound Jewish fables, genealogies, and so on. And their exposition, instead of making one wise unto salvation, it was nothing but vain babbling, profane, and old wives' fables. See, the purpose of exposition of the scriptures is to point to Jesus as Messiah and all that's provided in a salvation life. Amen. That's the purpose of exposition of the scriptures. So on these two sources of confidence, Timothy had enough to prevent any slippage in his commitment to the truth. Wisdom that leads to salvation. That's what it says here. The scriptures, the sacred writings from childhood that gives you the wisdom that leads to salvation. Now, he's talking here to Timothy. Now, Timothy is obviously saved. Timothy has traveled with the Apostle Paul, and Timothy is now left to pastor the church at Ephesus. So he's obviously born again. So when he's talking about it leads to salvation, in this particular instance, he's not talking about born again. He's already born again. But he's talking about the protection, the power, and the grace that's needed to walk in freedom from persecution that he would experience as he lives a godly life. And this was the whole deal. This was the whole reason for 2 Timothy. You know, by the time Paul wrote the second letter to Timothy, things had drastically changed in the city of Ephesus. He is losing people left and right. People are being dragged out of their homes. People are thrown into prison. People being put to death. You know, he had a church of about 50,000 people, and it is dropping quick. And his life is even on the line. And this is why Paul talks to Timothy rather sternly in the second letter. Because he needs Timothy to stand. And he would say, you know, suffer with the rest of us. Quit trying to get out of it. Take your stand. Isn't that right? Amen. So he needs the protection, the power, and the grace to walk in what he needs to walk in. Well, that's part of the salvation life. Amen. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." He had faith in him. How did it come? Well, it didn't come through the bloodstream. But it did come because his mother had faith and his grandmother had faith. So how did it come to Timothy? It was passed on through the generations from grandmother to mother to son through the teaching of the Word of God. Isn't that right? Amen. Thank God for godly mothers and godly grandmothers. Don't you ever be silent. Amen. Timothy's mother, grandmother, gave Timothy a steady diet of the Word of God. Amen. You know, before I got married, I had a diet. It was cake, cookies, bread, all kinds of junk food. If it had started with a J, I'd eat it. I love junk food. That's all I would eat. Well, thank God for a woman that can cook. But I didn't marry her because I thought she could cook. I never expected she couldn't. I thought all women cooked. That was my assumption. I'm not a sexist. That was just the way I was brought up. I thought all women cooked. So I found myself eating good on a regular basis because she cooked. Well, how much more important is it to feed a child a regular diet of the Word of God in faith? How important is that? Amen. You know, Grandma, when them kids come over and they want to pay a visit, you know, don't just give them cookies and cake. Give them the Word. Before they get there, ask the Lord, what should I share with them today? Seed them. Amen. If we'll feed the children like that, it'll become a main source of confidence in their lives, in the things that they're going to face in the future. And it will be their deliverance and their protection. Amen. We used to have an expression with our son. We'd say this all the time. Be smart, think with your heart. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 8. Proverbs 1:8. He says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." All right? Your father's instruction. The word instruction in the Hebrew means instruction and discipline. It's usually conveyed orally, but may involve the rod of reproof. And then the mother's teaching, the word teaching is actually the Hebrew word Torah. And it means the direction or the law as a whole, used of a summary, summarizing things, teaching. So the mother can teach the importance of obedience to a command. The mother teaches humility, submissiveness. And then the father gives the command, and the child remembers the teaching on obedience and gives themselves to do as directed. If you don't do it, then the result of the instruction is discipline. The mother's part is what? Teaching, seeding the children with the word of God. The children have been put into your life, and they are the field of God. And as parents, it is our job and it is our responsibility to seed God's field.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Proverbs 6, verse 20. See, because what's the word designed to do? Keep you as you go, talk to you when you wake up, you know, protect you. The word talks to you. You face decision, the word, you want to hear the word talk to you. Proverbs 6:20, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. So again, the word commandment means a direct action is required of what is spoken. So this is not a general instruction, but a specific command that requires obedience. Again, the mother has taught. The mother has given the teaching, seeded the child, taught about obedience. But then the command comes. Now, what is the purpose of the mother's teaching and the father's instruction? What is the purpose of teaching about obedience and doing as you're told to do for a child? The purpose is for the child to grow up and obey the word of God. That's the whole purpose. It's not about you, daddy, getting your way, or you, mommy, getting what you want, or you just telling kids what to do and they're your slaves. It's about growing them so that they will obey the word of God. Amen. Just like a command that would come from their human father, when a father gives a command to a child, what do kids normally have a habit of saying? Why? Why? Well, they're not old enough to know why. And you need to understand that and stop trying to explain it to them. You know, I heard Keith Moore say this one time. He said, I was reading something in the Word of God that I just didn't understand it. So I asked God to explain it to me. 10 years later, I got the revelation. Now, why? Why did it take 10 years? Because he had to grow into understanding that. Where he was at, he couldn't understand. So there's no sense in telling you. Well, the same thing with children. You're at an age, you don't understand. Why am I going to, you do what you're told to do, period. Oh, well, people don't want to do that. They want to do this. They want to do this. Let me explain it to you. Are you kidding me? You're going to explain a three-year-old on what they're supposed to do? That's like people say, well, you got to wait till the child is at the age of reason before you can explain the word to them. You are so far behind. The devil has just used how many years of developing stuff in them? Their soul was tied to hell and you left it there. Amen. And I look around and most of you are beyond the years of having children, most of you. But I remember 30 years ago teaching this and I would get some slack from people. Oh man, people would want to crucify me over saying these things. Well, I'm still here. Giving commands. See, and this is why when God gives a command, we're like, well, I don't know. I don't understand why. You don't need to understand. He said, do this, you do it. It's not up to you to understand it. It's up to you to obey it. And if you'd remember that, you'd obey a lot quicker. And stop dilly-dallying around. You know, it's the willing and obedient that eat the good of the land. Not the ones that hesitate and try to figure it out. You know why you hesitate and you want to figure it out? Because you're God to you. And only when you can figure it out and you can understand it, then you can do it. But you don't trust God. So if you don't understand it, you won't do it. Because you're God to you. You are God to you. Don't shout me down. You know I'm trying to just get you set free, right? I'm trying to open up your thinking here. You've got to understand some of this stuff. God only has your good in mind. Do you think if he tells you to do something, it's going to be hurtful, harmful, disastrous? No. He has your good in mind. You don't need to understand it. You just need to obey it. Amen. Because that's what, you know, with our children, we would, you know, we'd give them, okay, five chances. You got five chances to get it right. Well, after a while, we work it down to four. Then we work it down to three. Then we work it down to two. You know, because we already had kids when we got saved, so they weren't used to this. So we would work it down, five, four, three, two, and then it got to one. One time, we tell you one time, and if you don't obey, then it's discipline. Don't give me your excuses. Don't tell me you're tired. Don't tell me this. Don't tell me this is going on. Don't tell. Nope, no excuses. One time, you don't obey, discipline. Why? Because you wanted them to grow up and have immediate obedience to the things of God. Amen. All right, let me close here. Oh, I heard the hallelujah chorus. 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. As a new creature, we are seated with the life of God in our spirit. You are born again of the imperishable seed. Isn't that right? So we are seated with his life in our spirit. You don't have his life in fullness. You're seated with his life. We are kept in the hand of God, and nobody can pull us out. Right? Amen. This one that's kept in the hand of God does not go on continually, habitually sinning. This one that is born of God does not go on continually, habitually sinning. He is kept guarded with watchful care. And it says, the evil one does not touch him. And the word touch means he does not connect with him. It means that he cannot or does not exert a modifying influence. The evil one does not touch him, connect with him, or exert a modifying influence on him. Now, you remember 1 John 3:8, right? The purpose of the Son of God, he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And the word destroy in the Greek means to unbind, untie, and disconnect. He came to unbind you, disconnect you, and untie you from the works of the devil. Amen. So the devil does not touch you because he can't connect. You're disconnected from him. This is for the one that's born of God that does not continually, habitually sin. The devil cannot grasp or lay hold of us. Christ has a hold on us, and Satan can't drag us out. Amen. On the other hand, we who are born of God is to keep ourselves in the Word of God so that the evil one has no influence in our life. That's what Pastor Tim was talking about in 9:30 service, abiding. Why does the enemy have influence in our life if the Word of God clearly says does not touch us? Well, he don't touch us spiritually. We're living in a place of protection and deliverance as we are unbound in spirit, but we ought to press in to live unbound in this natural life. Yes. Amen. That's the ultimate goal and the one that we press in for. He cannot touch you, but there are influences that want to move you in certain directions. Yes. And when you don't have the truth of the Word of God, you are susceptible to it all. Amen. Amen. But you don't have to be. We can be free. You have the truth of the Word of God. You can meditate on that Word. You can get it into your heart. Instead of thinking about all the garbage going on out there, meditate on the Word of God. You're not going to change what goes on out there. Why don't you meditate on the Word of God and change you? Amen. And then you can observe to do what the Word of God says, and then you can have good success, and then you can deal wisely in the affairs of life. Amen. Stop letting that direct you in the things you do and the things you say, and start dealing wisely in the affairs of life by meditating on the Word of God. Amen. It'll keep you in a place of protection, keep you in a place of deliverance. Isn't that right? Amen. So, mothers, in teaching your children, you can place this seed into your children at the youngest of age. You don't have to wait till they can mentally understand. See, why do you wait till your child can reason before you teach them the Word? Because most people forgot you're a spirit being. That's why. And they think you're just that mind. You think that you're living on Wonder Bread, build strong bodies 12 ways, you know. But you're a spirit being that needs to be built. That child needs to be built. That child at the earliest age can make the right decision to get that soul delivered out of hell. Amen. Amen. And you can continue doing this all the days of their life, as long as they are under your influence and in your house. You know, my son, he had some problems with schooling and college, and he wanted to go off to college, but they had his classes messed up, and it was like he had to stay an extra year, then he had to stay an extra 6 months, and it was, you know, getting a little aggravating. But the Lord said to me, as long as he's in your house, you can continue to influence him. So we just used the opportunity. Amen. You know, Abraham, he was chosen to raise Isaac. But a woman, Mary, was chosen to raise Jesus. Amen. Yes. We love you, women. So we want to plant in our children the seeds of protection and deliverance so that they can grow up walking in it. Being delivered from, being delivered around, or being delivered out of. Deliverance can be theirs. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. Father, we just thank you that you're more than enough in every situation and all things. That we can look to you. We can set our hope on you. That we have our trust set, Lord. And there is none like you. Your word is truth. You watch over your word to perform it. Your word is higher than our words. Your thoughts higher than our thoughts. Your ways higher than our ways. But we take hold of your thoughts by taking hold of your word so we can walk in your ways and walk above all the things that are being promoted by the evil and by the imposters. And we can walk in truth, experience truth, and live in a life of freedom. Father, we thank you for that. We bless you, Father. Thank you, Father, that as we come before you with our giving, we thank you for the opportunity to sow our seed, to bring in our tithe, to bring in our seed, to bring in our first fruit offerings, to honor you and to give you the praise. With a heart of thanksgiving and attitude and gratitude for all that you have developed or brought to us, that you brought to our hands, you've increased our possessions, you have blessed us so that we can be a blessing. And Lord, I thank you that as we sow our seed today, we continue the process of seed time and harvest, so that as one being blessed of you, we can continue to go out and be a blessing to others and touch those that are within our sphere of influence. Father, we bless you, we honor you, and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.